Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, the book of Ezekiel is very, very exciting because there's nothing boring about the book of Ezekiel. Just tell the person next to you that there's nothing boring about the book of Ezekiel. There's nothing boring about the book of Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is a prophet of the Lord, is a man of God, and he has an incredible encounter with God at the beginning. And in Ezekiel 1, we see an awesome picture of who God is. So many of you will have drawn this, maybe, done it in the way of the Spirit, and you've got this picture of these four living creatures, one with the face of an ox, with a lion, with an eagle, with a human. Okay. And you know, it's all quite an awesome thing. And, sorry, I just got to do this. Okay. We're going to do a little activity, and I want you to give, after the count of three, to give your best roar. Okay, just imagine if you're that lion. And after three, we're going to give the best roar we can. Ready? One, two, three. I think I know where the loudest roar was in the room. Very dynamic. So in this picture, you have an amazing lion, an ox, an eagle, and a human being. And this is the picture of the living creatures. And you know what's happening in between these living creatures? Is there is flashes of lightning in between these living creatures. And there's all sorts of life and bubbly life kind of happening between them. And around them, there are these amazing kind of wheels. I don't know what they are, but yeah, they're wheels. And these wheels are very unique because they're covered with eyes. So just imagine four wheels completely covered with eyes. And this is what it says about these wheels. It says, as they moved, I should go back to verse 16. Ezekiel 1, verse 16. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel, intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not change directions as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. And in verse 20 it says, wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So here you have these wheels kind of moving around and around. And, you know, they're not operated by an outside force. They're not operated by somebody, you know, nobody is moving them. But the way that they're operated is because there are these amazing living creatures and the spirit of the living creatures is inside these wheels. So as the creatures are moving, then these wheels are also moving at the same time. And then you have this amazing picture of the Lord. And in verse 25, it says, then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault over their heads was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So Ezekiel has this amazing vision of God and these living creatures who are, you know, surrounding God in these wheels. And have you noticed that there's nothing static in this picture at all? Everything is moving. You know, there's God himself who's enthroned on high, full of fire, radiance, vibrance, life. You know, he's just radiating light. There's the living creatures who are breathing and, you know, their wings are going up and down and making a really loud noise. And there's these wheels which carry the spirit of the living creatures in them and are also moving. So there's nothing static in this picture at all. So when we look at this, we can't think still. It's not just an awesome picture that's still. No, Ezekiel had a moving image, a vision. That's why it's called a vision. It's moving. It's dynamic. So that's the background to, it's not really the background, it's the foundation to where we're going today. So I'm going to see if I can sign in a moment. So God is on the move. And so are we, if we follow him. Because the Spirit is also in us. And just as the Spirit of God is alive and active and, you know, moving, and, you know, the Spirit in the wheels were moving because of the living creatures, well, God's put his Spirit in us. And so we're to also be those who are on the move. So I just want you to bring you back to the three circles that we have as Cornerstone Church, the vision. So let's see. So as I said, the first one is local. And that's where you are, you're building relationships with people. I was going to do this anyway, but I just thought it'd be fun to ask you first to jog your memories. Building relationships with people all week long, wherever you are in the workplace. Or, you know, wherever you are. This, Dennis was saying, you know, shopping or wherever you are. And the second one is community. And that really is like the dynamic that we have. So we have like an apostolic, prophetic dynamic. And so, you know, we make sure that we worship together because that's key. You know, we make sure that we pray together because we want to be a praying people. We make sure that we've got solid teaching because that's important to get the word in there, the word and the spirit. And also, somebody said later earlier on, connection, so fellowship with each other. So that's like the community dynamic, you know, between us all. And then the other one is world. Going to the world. So that's to other nations, abroad, etc. So we have this pattern of the local where we're all building relationships, you know, all week long with those who do not know Christ. We have this community dynamic where we're meeting together, we're praying together, we're spending time together, you know, we're building each other up, we're making sure that we're getting solid teaching. And then we have this world dynamic, which is, you know, let's go and make disciples. And let's not just, you know, not just here in our comfort zone, not just in the UK, but let's go abroad. And so we go on mission to Uganda, and so praise God. So that's like the pattern that God gave us as Cornerstone Church right at the beginning to live these three kind of circles. And the way that we've been doing it primarily at the moment has been, for example, we meet at 8 o'clock, don't we? We have lunchtime prayer meetings. We're meeting tonight on Tuesdays, you know, to make sure that we're seeking God and meeting God together. We have Way of the Spirit teaching days to get the word in, to make sure that there's solid teaching. And then we make sure that we're meeting as trios to ensure that we're building relationships all day long, and they're places where we encourage each other. Say, yes, keep going for your relationships, or yeah, you need to, you know, let's pray for you, let's encourage each other, let's be accountable to each other. So that's the kind of the local, and of course the world, you know, we go on mission. We're mission orientated, we're mission minded. And so all these things that we have, that we do as a community, you know, kind of community of faith, Cornerstone, and Way of the Spirit, are there to facilitate this. They're there to facilitate, you know, the local, the community, and the world. But what I saw afresh was that those things like 8 o'clocks and, you know, trios and prayer meetings and evening meetings and all those things, they're simply the, if you like, the, you know, like in a building or like a rocket which is about to launch off, you've got like specific structures in place to like hold it down to make sure that it's standing upright. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it's like kind of keeping it in place. Well, these things are like the pillars to keep that structure in place. But once those things are removed, I'm not saying that we're going to remove them, you know, but just hear what I'm saying at the moment. Once those structures or things are removed, then that rocket or that building, wherever it is, that thing that is being built stays standing. And what God is doing through all these things, through the 8 o'clocks, through the times of prayer, through the Sunday prayer, you know, through our times meeting together, etc., is he is building a people. He's building us. The point is not we must have 8 o'clocks because it's the 8 o'clocks that are important and are sacred. It's not that. It's the people. It's not like we have to have Tuesdays every, you know, every week because it's sacred and dare anyone touch it. It's because of the people. It's not because we have to have Sunday prayer meetings every week because, you know, everyone must pray for 2 hours, you know, every week. It's to build the people. And it's not, we're not just, you know, I'm still kind of figuring out how to express and explain it, so bear with me. But it's not about us doing worship or doing prayer or doing a meeting. It's about us becoming a people of worship, becoming a people of prayer, becoming a people who love the word of God. So no longer are these things just things that we do or attend, or, you know, it's become a religious thing, but it's like we become that. It's like we, I know Pastor Richard uses that word a lot, but we internalized it. You know, we don't just do mission because we have to and because we like it. We do it, yes, because obviously God said go, but then we become mission orientated. We suddenly become those people who are outward looking. We're not just inward looking. We're not just, oh, it's all about me and it's all about my little world. But we become a people who go. We don't just do mission. And this was one of the scriptures that God gave us when we were actually, I think just before we put the pillars in place, actually. I think it was part of that enablers meeting, which is quite incredible. And so Acts 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So here you have this amazing picture of people who are devoted to each other, but also devoted to the things of God. So, you know, teaching is important. Fellowship is important. The breaking of bread, communion, you know, remembering what Jesus has done. Prayer is important. And they're seeing miracles and signs. And they're meeting together. They're eating together. They're sharing. They're living with each other. And then they're meeting in the temple courts. Everyone's glad. Everyone's happy. They're praising God. And God is adding to their number daily. And as I said, this was the word that God gave us before we, you know, put the, I think it was just after we left FEH, before we put all this, the pillars, the new things in place for us to kind of meet as a community. And that's a really nice picture of just solid community, isn't it? It's fantastic. And it's really cozy. It's really comfortable. I mean, not that it shouldn't be, but you know, it's just really happy and joyful and comfy. But as you know, the book of Acts continues. It doesn't stay there. So if you turn me to Acts 8, it says, chapter 8, verse 1, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And then it says, chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be a great persecution broke out. We don't know. But isn't it amazing that these people in Acts, you see, they were kind of like us. They had structure. You know, they were meeting together in the temple courts daily. They were meeting together in homes. There was prayer. There was fellowship. There were key kind of structures and things in place for them to meet. And then when persecution broke out and they were scattered, they didn't all fall away and say, that's it, I'm off now, I'm done with God. But what they did is they, you know, if you like, those outer structures or the, you know, that enabled them to have such a community life dynamic that they internalized that life. It's all about life. And then when the persecution came, wherever they went, they carried that life. They didn't carry, it must look like this and it must look like this way. They carried the life. Amen. And you see this later in Acts chapter, where is it, Lord? Acts chapter 11. It's again in Acts chapter 11, where it says, verse 19, Acts 11, verse 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews, because that's what they had been taught. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So going to the Greeks sounded really odd to them. It was outside, if you like, their structure. It didn't fit in. But they were carrying so much life that it didn't matter what it looks like, as long as the life goes out in some way and it's expressed and it's released. And so you have this amazing thing in verse 22 where it says, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch because there's so much life happening. And so when he arrives in Antioch, because he's sent from Jerusalem, he basically comes to encourage and to build up the disciples in that place. And not long after, he basically takes Paul and they teach the church in that place. And they build it up. So what you're seeing is after the persecution, and you see this Paul going to different places, is as they're being spread out, each one of these people are going out, spreading the word of God, and what's happening? Other communities of faith are being established. You know, it didn't necessarily look like exactly how it did at the beginning, but it was another expression of the same life, the same spirit that was originally there. And so it's the same for us. You know, just imagine, okay, you know, if God said tomorrow, I want you to stop Tuesday evenings. Just imagine, okay, just imagine. Would we all say, what are the enablers doing? They're going crazy. Let's go back to them, you know? Or would we say, okay, so God, what are you saying now? Where is the life going to be directed now? Where's the life going? And it's the same, you know, when we go to Uganda, when we go abroad, you know, it doesn't have to be 8 o'clock, so it could be 6 o'clock. To be honest, they pray at like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. It will probably be at that time when we go to Uganda anyway. So, it could be anything. It could look like anything. But the But the main thing is that it contains the life. And of course we need to meet. Of course we need to have structure and all that kind of thing. But it doesn't necessarily need to look a specific way all the time, because it's not about, as I said, it's not about the outer structure. It's about the people that God is building. And so, you know, the reason why we have 8 o'clock prayer meeting, Sunday prayer, like I said, it's not because we have to fulfill a religious program or we have to do it a certain way. It's because there are opportunities to get built up. It's where God is going to impact. Are you okay? Okay, a bit tired. It's where God is going to impact his life and put it in there. So, turn with me to Ephesians. To remind you of the vision of what God is doing, So it says 19, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. So again, it's not about the outer scaffolding, as you know, somebody put it. It's about the building. God is building his people. He's building us. And then in Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's where we're headed. We're headed towards maturity. We're headed to attaining the fullness of God. And, you know, God's given us this pattern about having, you know, worship and prayer and teaching, et cetera, in order to make us mature in Christ so that we can express his life and his fullness. And so it says, verse 14, verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So obviously, we've got so many different giftings in here. We've got gifts of encouragement, gifts of teaching, gifts of prayer, gifts of, you know, getting alongside people, gifts of leadership, you know, et cetera, and we need all those gifts. We need your gift. These times when we come and when we meet together, of course, you know, it's not just those times, but obviously the opportunity to meet together, it's so important to see the release of those gifts because we can't do it without you. Just tell the person, I can't do this whole cornerstone thing without you. I can't do it without you. It'd be a waste of time. Just tell, and then tell them, I need your gift. The gift that God's given you. I need your gift. The gift God's given you. So we need each one. And as I said, those times of meeting, you know, the trios, the prayer, the blah, 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 are opportunities for us to release the gift that you have. Obviously, it doesn't have to be inside. It can be outside, you know. We've got the outreach team outside, and they're all encouraging. And but it's not just that. You know, when you're in here, when you testify, that encourages us. So that's great. But that's what God is doing, is he is building us. But, you know, the trio thing itself, it's nothing. It can mean it's nothing. But what that does is it facilitates the growth of those inside the tree. It facilitates the outward lookingness. And you know, who knows what? I mean, God might say, do something else in the next season. But anyway, we won't go there. But you know, that's up to God, up to whatever he wants to do. Yes, just before we go there, I had another picture. It wasn't really a picture, but you know, like children, they need boundaries or things in place to help them grow and become everything that they're called to be. Isn't it true that, like Sam, you know, mummy and daddy have like certain rules to help you become everything that you can be? Exactly. And it's like at school, there are certain things and certain rules in place to allow the children to become everything they can be, to flourish. And anyway, that's what parents do because they love us and they want us to be everything they can be. And it's like that. It's like these specific things, you know, are like those structures, those things in place which enable us to grow. You know, then I don't like the word boundaries, but anyway, do you know what I mean? It's not like restrictive. It's not restrictive. It's a healthy boundary. It's a healthy boundary. It's like a plant. It provides a structure for the rose to grow and to blossom, doesn't it? Okay, it's not quite the same. Anyway, I'll get back to the children thing. So they need that to begin with. But then as you grow, you have those boundaries or those structures change to adapt the growth. They become less. They become, you know, different to facilitate the new growth. And eventually, when you become an adult, you don't expect your mum and dad to set boundaries for you. You set your own. You know, you decide, right, this is the work that I've got to do, so I'm going to do it in this time, I'm going to do it in that time. And then eventually when you have your own family, you set your boundaries for the rules for your own household, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of like that. It's like this picture of like, you know, a body of Christ, kind of, you know, being like children to begin with these boundaries and structures in place. But it's to facilitate the growth. And then when they grow, when they're mature enough, then they set their own. Then they're able to establish it. And so these people in Acts, when they were sent off and scattered, they had that, I don't know, that growth inside of them. They were at a place where they were mature. And they didn't say, well, now that we're scattered, that's it. We're not going to meet with each other. That's it. I'm done. Whatever. They said, no, now I'm going to spread the word of God. Now we're going to meet. Now we're going to make sure that we meet in the temple of God and praise God and worship. But they didn't do it because somebody back at Jerusalem said, you must do it. They did it because they realized there's life in this. It's the life that we're going after. It's not about the structure. It's the life. The life, the life, the life. And so we have this phrase, don't we, where we say, let's be flexible and nimble. If God says we meet at 6 o'clock, then we meet at 6 o'clock. If he says we do 24-hour prayer, then we do the. And we're free to say that because we realize it's not about the structure. We realize it's about the life. That's what God's growing. He's growing the people. He's growing us so that we can go out and carry the life. Certain meetings or structures, whatever you call them, that you go to, for example, 8 o'clock, if you're around at that time, or trios, or life groups, or, you know, you get my drift. So I just want you to write down a short list, not everything, maybe, but a short list of the things that you go to, are commonly involved with, and what is the life that you get from it? So forget the actual structure, but what's the life? How are you edified? How are you built up? What's the life of God that you see in that particular structure, environment? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you know what I'm trying to ask? Is that clear? So like, you know, if you're, you know, for example, most of you are, you know, all of you attend Tuesday evening. So what is the life that you get or that you see in Tuesday evenings? What is it? Is it, you know, I just love meeting with people. It's the fellowship. That's where I find the life. Is it actually, it's my only time where I get food, where I get the word. So yeah, for me, that's the life. It's that meat, the word. Do you know what, does that explain? You enjoy growing. Amen. It's so painful, but it's so good. Growing and learning. Amen. Praise God. Okay, we'll stick with those for now. So, the life that we're currently, I'll just read them out. The worship, being together, fellowship, teaching, fun, word, fellowship, teaching an encounter with God, sharing and encouraging each other in the truth, hearing others' revelation, the intimacy, the group dynamics, being with other people, being with like-minded people who also believe, and growing and learning. So there's some of the things that when we you know, meet, or these structures, these things, they facilitate this because of the people. but what we're getting out of it was not, we're not getting dry stuff, we're getting life. We're getting growth. We're getting, yes, encouragement. We're getting truth, word. We're getting I just needed to spend that time with you today. You know, it's so good to just spend time with you today, that fun, that fellowship. We're getting it's so good to share and encourage each other and stand with each other and hear your revelation as well as share my revelation, but to hear yours and to encounter God. Yeah. So we're receiving strength in faith. And you see, this is what it's all about. The life. Because God is interested in the life and what he's building in us, not, you know, the actual structure. So of course, you know, we need, like I said, once those children grew up, they went and made their own, and they established other communities of faith, et cetera, and whatever. And we, you know, I'm not saying ditch structure, but the point of it is the life. That's what we focus on, because God is building a people. So I just want to bring us back to that, 1 Peter 2, verse 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. That's what God's doing, is he is making us that spiritual house. Offering to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So you're chosen by God. You are precious to him. And all of us in this room and on Zoom are like those living stones, and we're being built into a spiritual house. God doesn't care if we have 8 o'clock or not. That's not the point. We could have 6 o'clock, we could have 7 p.m.s, we could have, you know, it could be. But he cares about what he's doing in you. He cares about what he's building between us. A holy priesthood. He's building a people. He's building a body. It's a building. It's a community of living stones. And do you know why we're living? But isn't it? It's like, you know, we're living stone, and it's like those wheels. Just, you know, I can't. We won't go back to these. Anyway, but you know, it's like those wheels. You know, wheels. There's no life in wheels. If you look at your car, there's no life in the wheels, is there? No life in it at all. The only reason why your car moves is because it's got, you know, it's got this petrol thing going in it, or whatever. And the only reason why there were wheels were moving in Ezekiel 1 is because of the spirit of the living creatures were in them. So in the same way that that we're now living stones, it's because the Holy Spirit is in us, and he's moving. And here in verse 9 it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. All these circles that God gave us as a pattern for Cornerstone Church, it's not the structure, it's the life. It's the Spirit of God within it, building us up.